Welcome. Welcome once again to Sunday School. Sunday School at Grace Baptist Church. Phrases in the Bible having connection to the phrase "for the sake of" have been of great interest to me for a number of years. Indeed, these phrases, and especially the word "sake," are of significant importance in the Holy Scriptures. For the sake of. For the sake of. In dealing with the word "sake," in the Old Testament, we will be using two Hebrew words, and these words mean "on account of," "because of," "in order that," "for the purpose of," all those having to do with the word "sake." In the New Testament, we will deal with three Greek words translated "sake," which mean "on account of," "because of," "by reason of." So, we see the meaning is consistent in both testaments of God's Word. Of course, the context in which the word appears will determine what meaning it should be given from among the meanings I have presented thus far. Our word "sake" is seen very early on in the Scriptures and is of significant importance. I want to look to Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. After having spoken to the serpent and then to Eve, the Lord God spoke to Adam. This is after Adam sinned. "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake.'" In other words, cursed is the ground because of you. "In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." This is a great contrast from before sin entered mankind. It wasn't like that before. This toil, thorns, thistles being brought forth. Verse 19, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." Till you return to the ground. Death. "For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." I believe what we clearly see here also is the curse of physical death. Physical death of the body because of sin. And of course, the spirit was separated from God as well. As in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. A curse for Adam's sake. A curse because of Adam. Our next view of "for the sake of" has to do with the descendants of Abraham. The descendants of Abraham. And if we are going to worship God in spirit and in truth, we must look at what we're going to look at from a spiritual perspective. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. We're going to be reading the first 9 verses. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Have you suffered so many things uselessly? If indeed in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, the Spirit is given, folks, by the sovereign grace of God. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Just as Abraham, now listen, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Remember, we're talking about the descendants. We want to get to the descendants of Abraham, this one who it had it accounted to him for righteousness because he believed, Genesis 15:6. Therefore, know that those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, descendants. We're speaking spiritually. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations, the Gentiles, by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. All kinds of people. Genesis 12:3. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Eventually, after Abraham, the Lord appeared to Isaac, Abraham's son, a descendant after the flesh, but in spirit as well, and said, as recorded in Genesis 26:24, God says this to Isaac, I, the God of your father Abraham, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant's Abraham's sake. For my servant Abraham's sake. For the word sake here, I'm going to apply one of our previous meanings, which was for the purpose of. God will multiply you. God will bless you. God will multiply your descendants for the purpose of my servant Abraham. What was that purpose according to God's promise? Not only did Paul quote it in Galatians 3:8, as we read, but Peter also preached it in the temple in Acts 3:25. Peter preached this. God said to Abraham, all in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And wonder of wonders, listen up. Abraham's sake, Abraham's purpose is fulfilled in Christ. Remember, we're talking about seed. We're talking about descendants. Abraham's purpose. Galatians 3, verses 16 and 29, say this. I hope you're listening. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. And if you are Christ's, if you are of Christ, if you belong to Christ by virtue of the new birth, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, one with Christ for Abraham's sake is of significant importance eternally. Because of Adam, for the sake of Adam, because of Adam, all die. For the sake of Abraham, for the purpose of Abraham, there are some of all nations who belong to Christ in salvation. Let's look more at for the sake of. God's name is who He is. He is the great I Am. This was first stated in Exodus 3:14. I am who I am. Jesus Christ identified Himself as I am in John 8:58, where He said, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. In that Christ is the express image of God the Father, one with the Father, and understanding that the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of Christ, I conclude that the Trinity, the triunity, can also be referred to as I am. They're one. The eternal, self-existent, all-powerful, everywhere present, all-knowing God. Three beings who are one. I am who inhabits eternity. That word inhabits is intriguing, to say the least. I am who inhabits eternity. That means permanently continuing to abide. The great I am is eternal life. May I use these words out of John 5:20 for emphasis here. This is the true God and eternal life. For the sake of God's name is of the highest importance and deserves our highest esteem. And we must never forget that at the center of God's name, there is not only a God of justice, but also a God of mercy. For as the scriptures say, God is love. 1 John 4:8. Please remember, God's name is who He is, and eternally so. He does not change. Malachi 3:6. In Ezekiel chapter 36, God says this to the true Israel of God. Remember, if we're going to worship God, we must do so in spirit and in truth. Ezekiel chapter 36, speaking to the true Israel of God, and that means the church, the elect of God. In Ezekiel 36, 22, God says, I do not do, He does not perform, He does not act for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. Folks, that's what we did as the elect of God. Wherever we were profaning the name of God before God saved us. On account of, because of, by reason of, for the purpose of His holy name, for the purpose of who He is, eternally, He will perform, He will act. And what will He do? Now we're talking about Ezekiel 36. I'm going to read some verses from there that just followed what I quoted from Ezekiel 36, though I'm going to reread that verse. And then I'm going to give you a synopsis of it again so that it gets into our hearts as well as our minds. Ezekiel 36, verses 22 through 27. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, the true Israel of God, thus says the Lord God, I do not do, now I know the word this is in most of your translations, not in the text. He does not act, He does not perform for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, for the purpose of my name, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. Listen to this. When I am hallowed, I think the King James has sanctified, when I am revered as holy in you, those who had previously profaned Him will be revered as holy in them before their eyes, before the eyes of those that they profaned the Lord God in. The next word in the next verse means everything. For. How is God going to bring to pass changing these profane people into those whom His glory would be seen in? For I will take you. This is how He does it. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Folks, God took us out of wherever we were, from among every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, and brought us into the kingdom of God. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now that synopsis I spoke of, you're going to hear it again, what I just read. God cleanses his people from all filthiness and from all idols. He gives them a new heart and spirit. God indwells them with his own spirit, causing them to keep his judgments and to do them. Finally, God is revered as holy in his people, in full view of the world, all nations, for his holy name's sake, because of, for the purpose of who he is. He is love, and displays that love by the great mercy he shows here in Ezekiel, by giving his very own spirit to abide in us who previously profaned his name. This work of God, done for his holy name's sake, is clearly echoed in Titus. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Let's look there. Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. Christian, starts out immediately talking straight to you. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, They didn't serve us. We served them. Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Does this not echo profaning God's name among everybody we came into contact with? But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, what happened? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He delivered us through the washing of regeneration. As it said in Ezekiel, he would cleanse us. And he did. And renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. I will put my spirit within you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope, the expectation of eternal life. According to his mercy, O God. I know I can plead God's mercy as I look to the Psalms. There I find for the sake of. Psalm 31:16. The psalmist says to the Lord God, "Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me. Deliver me. For your mercy's sake." On account of, because of, by reason of, for the purpose of your mercies, plural, save, deliver me. Again, note that the word mercies is not singular, but plural. God's mercy is plenteous, numerous, abundant, and is forever. It is a forever mercy. Look at Psalm 136. Remembering our God is a consuming fire. Remembering that, remember this. Due to the Lord's mercies, because of the Lord's mercies, for the sake of God's mercies, we are not consumed. Lamentations 3:22. Now, I want us to go back to "for God's name's sake." For the purpose of God's name. Oh, I wake up with this thought on my mind most every single day. I should wake up with it on my mind every single day. Oh, how much we need God to lead and guide us. How much we need God to lead and guide us in this Christian life, where we must war against the demonic realm and our own flesh continually. We're going to end by looking at some psalms, beginning with Psalm 25:11. Psalm 25:11. If you're a Christian today, you're going to relate to these psalms. No two ways about it. Psalm 29:11. Concerning God's great name's sake. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Folks, you and I can say that every day. Because of who He is, only God has the authority and power to pardon that iniquity, for His great name's purpose. Pardon our iniquity. You can flip right on over to Psalm 31:3. Psalm 31:3. For you, God, you are my rock and my fortress. He is our all in all. He is our strength. Therefore, for your name's sake, for the purpose of your name, lead me and guide me. And just where will God lead for the purpose of His name? Where will God lead and guide us for the purpose of His name? Some of you may already have it in mind. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There it is, folks. If you ask him to lead and guide you each day, the target should be the paths of righteousness for the purpose of his great name, for his name's sake. Amen.